Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 13th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for what that word says, and for how it leads, and how we grow because of it. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us today as we continue to study and expand our understanding according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that Joe Biden is the second Catholic president that we have. However, I'm sure you're also aware of the fact that the relationship that he holds with the church at large is much different from the one held by John F. Kennedy when he was named to be president in the 1960s. But there are some interesting articles here that I'd like to share them with you. And so my subject today is Francis and Biden. Francis and Biden. And the first article I'd like to share with you is from the Hill website. That's the Hill website. It was published on March the 10th, 2021. The writer of the article is John Kenneth White. That's John Kenneth White. And the title of the article is Pope Francis May Be Joe Biden's Most Important Ally. The title again, Pope Francis May Be Joe Biden's Most Important Ally. Of course, the website is The Hill. It was published on March the 10th, 2021. Here's that article. It is often said that our most important ally is Great Britain, with whom the United States enjoys a special relationship. Others say it is our NATO allies who make up the backbone of our defense against Russia. Certainly, the leaders of these countries welcomed Joe Biden's election and subsequent message, "We're back," especially after the America's First policy and slurs directed at their leaders by Donald Trump. Yet, truth be told, President Biden's most important ally today is not these European leaders, but Pope Francis. With his trip to Iraq, Pope Francis has advanced vital U.S. interests. In that war-torn country, the Pope called for a full expression of religious freedom and greater tolerance, asking religious and regional sects there to remember what unites us. One young Iraqi psychologist student observed that she had never seen the country so united. She marveled, "The Pope has performed a miracle. A united Iraq aligns with our interests, especially after this nation's territorial integrity was threatened by the U.S. invasion of 2003. The Pope's high standing abroad can help refurbish a battered U.S. image. Since 2000, favorable opinions of the U.S. in the United Kingdom fell from 63% to 41%. Similar declines occurred among other allies. France, U.S. image favorability fell from 62% to 31%. In Germany, it fell from 78% to 26%. In Canada, it fell from 72% to 35%. In Australia, it fell from 59% to 33%. Now, let me just pause to say that is incredible. Notice the figures here being described by these guys who have done a favorability evaluation of the United States of America in these countries. And these countries are supposed to be a part of our friends across the entire world. But I'm going to read that paragraph again for you so you can get a feel for exactly what is being said there. Notice what it says. Pope Francis standing with American Catholics is quite, well, no, let's go back a little further than that. And let me give you the percentages that we mentioned just now. The Pope's high standing abroad can help refurbish a battered U.S. image. Since 2000, favorable opinions of the U.S. in the United Kingdom fell from 63% to 41%. Similar declines occurred among other allies. In France, it fell from 62% to 31%. In Germany, from 78% to 26%. In Canada, from 72% to 35%. In Australia, from 59% to 33%. For people around the world, the Pope is more than a symbol of the Catholic Church. In the United States, 35% associate the Pope with the Catholic Church, but an even greater number, 49%, view him as a moral and humanitarian spokesperson for all people. At home, Pope Francis is also a valuable Biden ally. In 2016, Donald Trump won 50% of the Catholic vote to Hillary Clinton's 46%. But in 2020, for only the second time in history, Democrats nominated and elected a Roman Catholic president. Biden highlighted his Catholic upbringing and reliance upon the church for comfort in times of sorrow. His Catholic faith was on full display at the Democratic National Convention, where Father James Martin, a Jesuit priest, and Sister Simone Campbell offered prayers. On election day, Catholics backed Biden 52% to Trump's 47%. White Catholics are a particularly important constituency, especially in the battleground states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And Biden took all of them by slim margins. Close elections are won or lost at the margins. And that was certainly true in 2020. Biden's embrace of his Catholic faith was strategic and established a strong contrast with Trump. That contrast was accentuated by Pope Francis' many criticisms, and they were heard by Catholic voters. The Pope zeroed in on Trump's harsh immigration and border wall policies, saying, "A person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges is not Christian." As for Trump's policy of separating immigrant children from their parents, a policy Biden opposed, the Pope highlighted a disconnect between Trump's pro-life position on abortion and his child separation policy. He said, "The President of the United States presents himself as pro-life, and if he is a good pro-lifer, he understands that family is the cradle of life, and its unity must be protected." The Pope's criticism resonated with Latinos, the vast majority of whom are Catholic. In 2020, Biden captured 65% of the Latino vote to Trump's 32%. Their votes made a crucial difference in Arizona, where 61% of Latinos backed Biden, and Georgia, where 62% did. On Inauguration Day, the Pope extended his cordial good wishes to the new president, noting that in a time of grave crises, he prayed that Biden's decisions will be guided by a concern for building a society marked by authentic justice and freedom, together with unfailing respect for the rights and dignity of every person, especially the poor, the vulnerable, and those who have no voice. The Pope's emphasis on social justice issues clashed with another Inauguration Day statement issued by the U.S. Conference of Catholics. Bishop of that organization noted that our new president has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity, most seriously in the area of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender, and added that abortion remains a preeminently important priority. Some Catholic leaders, notably Chicago Cardinal, called the statement ill-considered, but other Catholics intensified their criticism. Archbishop Joseph Norman of Kansas City, chair of the USCCB Pro-Life Committee, claimed that the weekly mass attending, rosary-carrying Biden should stop calling himself devout. George Weigel, a prominent critic of both Biden and Pope Francis, described the president as an incoherent Catholic who should not receive communion. The close alignment between president and Pope benefits both. In addition to helping U.S. interests abroad, his commitment to social justice causes, and the plight of immigrants, Pope Francis has emphasized the personal responsibility of everyone to take a vaccine to combat COVID-19, the top priority of the Biden administration. In January, the Pope declared, "I believe that morally everyone must take the vaccine. When it comes to the environment, another Biden priority, Pope Francis has been an outspoken advocate. In his encyclical, Laudato Si, the Pope decried the irresponsible use and abuse of the goods of Mother Earth and noted that the ecological violence being done is reflective of the symptoms of sickness and is found in the soil and in the water and in the air and in all forms of life." Pope Francis' standing with American Catholics is quite high. In a recent survey, 77% expressed a favorable opinion, including 35% who voice a very favorable view. 94% describe the Holy Father as compassionate, and 91% call him humble. Any politician, much less a religious leader, would love to receive such high marks. No wonder that you, as you enter the Oval Office and look behind the Resolute desk, you will find an array of pictures of the Biden family and one very prominent picture of the President and the Pope. So notice that even though Biden has some critics in the Catholics, that is the Catholic leadership, no less, the general Catholic public are very, very high in their approval of both Francis and Biden. And of course, as we said before, the title of the article that we just read is "Pope Francis May Be Joe Biden's Most Important Ally." You'll find that article in The Hill, and it was published on the 10th of March, 2021. There's another article I'd like to share with you, and this one is found in the Georgia University website. It was published on February the 1st, 2021. And the writer of that article is Kim Daniels. Now listen to the title: "President Biden, U.S. Bishops, and Pope Francis: How to Promote Catholic Principles in a Divided Church and Nation." The title again: "President Biden, U.S. Bishops, and Pope Francis: How to Promote Catholic Principles in a Divided Church and Nation." Here's some of that article. On January the 20th, 2021, President Joe Biden, the second Catholic president in U.S. history, began Inauguration Day at Mass with his family and the nation's leaders at the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle in Washington, D.C. Just after the swearing-in, Pope Francis sent a brief message of congratulations, blessings, and prayers that Biden's decision will be guided by unfailing respect for the rights and dignity of every person, especially the poor, the vulnerable, and those who have no voice. At about the same time, Archbishop Jose Gomez, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, released a lengthy statement offering prayers, saying, "It will be refreshing to engage with a president who clearly understands in a deep and personal way the importance of religious faith and institutions, and also warning that Biden has pledged to pursue certain policies that would advance moral evils and threaten human life and dignity." As Inauguration Day progressed, there were reports of divisions between the U.S. bishops and Pope Francis, and among the U.S. bishops, on how to assess and work with a Catholic president with Biden's faith, history, and policy commitments. Since then, this organization has issued statements commending Biden's executive action on DACA, immigration reform, ending the Muslim ban, and rejoining the Paris Agreement on climate change. Statements have also been made opposing Biden's executive order on employment, LGBTQ, and gender issues, as well as his statement on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. All this has generated considerable commentary controversy, concern, and confusion. So you notice now that there are those who agree with some of the things that he's doing, and we're talking now about the Catholic bishops, and there are some who disagree with some of the things that he's doing. All right, continuing. The initiative brought together several respected leaders to examine the context and content of these developments and explore challenges and opportunities in the leadership and relationship between President Biden and the leaders of the Catholic Church. They asked certain questions like, what difference does Biden's Catholicism make at the White House? How does it affect his policies, priorities, speeches, and activities? What are the implications, the lessons, and possible future directions in light of this complicated and controversial moment, where an active, visible Catholic has both areas of strong agreement on several principles of Catholic social teaching and strong disagreement with Catholic teaching on the critical issues of abortion and other moral questions? What are the principles and priorities which should shape the interaction between the Biden White House and the U.S. Conference of Bishops? Some question President Biden's faith and even his suitability to receive communion. Others question the U.S. bishops' roles, words, and actions. What principles, practices, and criteria should guide the relationship between the Catholic president and the ordained leadership of the Catholic Church? How do those translate into a principled, effective working relationship between the U.S. CCB and the Biden administration? These are questions that will be answered as we proceed with the presidency. So notice now there are some of the decisions that are being made by Biden that are pleasing to the bishops, and then his position on homosexuality and same-sex marriage, etc., LGBTQ, they find that they cannot embrace that at all. All right? One last article I'd like to share with you, and it's found in the New Yorker on the same subject. This article was published on January the 22nd, 2021. The writer of that article is Paul Elie, E-L-I-E. And the title of the article is, Can Joe Biden Save American Catholicism from the Far Right? The title again, Can Joe Biden Save American Catholicism from the Far Right? Here's some of that article. A few hours after agitators incited by President Donald Trump breached the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, addressed the reconvened representatives along with a vast television audience. She denounced the shameful attack on our democracy and resolved that the House would complete its certification of Joe Biden's victory in the Electoral College. Pelosi, a Catholic, then took a religious turn. Today, January the 6th, is the Feast of Epiphany, she said. On this day of revelation, let us pray that the instigation to violence will provide an epiphany for our country to heal. She also quoted a prayer often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let there be love. Where there is despair, let there bring hope. Biden has quoted this prayer often. 3 weeks earlier, when the electoral votes were first certified, he had offered the saints' words, where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. As something like a mission statement for his presidency. Those invocations represent a striking turnabout. In the past 4 years, several million traditionalist American Catholics have made the impious, twice-divorced, religiously tone-deaf celebrity mogul Donald Trump their standard bearer. Now, progressive Catholics are placing their hopes in Biden, who is only the second Catholic president after John F. Kennedy. Biden's unfailing attendance at Sunday Mass, his visits to the churchyard graves of his first wife and daughter, who were killed in a car crash in 1972, and his practice of carrying a rosary are taken as emblems of that public servant's deep faith. His late-in-life election, moderate temperament, and just folks' manner prompt comparisons with Pope Francis, even as the new president's support for abortion rights and gay marriage has prompted the head of the U.S. bishops to form a working group to examine his positions and several bishops to declare that he should be denied communion. During the campaign, Biden turned against the Hyde Amendment, which prescribed the use of federal funds to support abortion services, after decades of tacit support for it. Set the rosary aside, and old-school Joe Biden is the kind of flexible, independent-minded Catholic whom many bishops have spent their careers taking to task, and many progressive Catholics see as akin to themselves. In a new book, an Italian who is a professor of theology at Villanova University near Philadelphia observes that Biden's presidency arouses not only political expectations, but also religious and salvific ones. This Catholic president is now called upon to heal the moral damage inflicted upon the nation by Trump, the pandemic, and globalization. So you notice now that there is this internal battle going on. There are those who are very, very pro-Biden, and then they're the leaderships of the church who would like him to stand in their cause with the social issues like abortion, LGBTQ, etc., etc., Roe versus Wade. It would be interesting to see where this will lead, how it will turn out. Who will turn to whom? You and I already know how this will end. And you and I already have been warned by God that we need to be prepared for all that is to come. We need to place ourselves in God's hand. We need to understand what it is we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it. And so today, my dear brother, my dear sister, recommit to Christ. Allow him to lead you. Study the word. Do that which is necessary so that we might be found ready to go home with him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of today. We thank you for the blessings that you have already given and for all that you will do for us in the future. We ask that as we see the nation moving swiftly from one side to the other, that our hearts will be rooted and grounded in truth so that we might respond only based upon your instruction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, March the 13th, 2021.